Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Semler Scientific Third Quarter 2018 Financial Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the conference, please press star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Before we begin, Semler Scientific would like to remind you that this conference call may contain forward-looking statements. Such statements can be identified by words such as may, will, expect, anticipate, estimate, or words with similar meaning, and such statements involve a number of risks and uncertainties that could cause Semler Scientific's actual results to differ materially from those discussed here. Please note that these forward-looking statements reflect Semler Scientific's opinions only as of the date of this presentation, and it undertakes no obligation to revise or publicly release the result of any revision to these forward-looking statements in light of new information or future events. Please refer to Semler Scientific's SEC filings for a more detailed description of the risk factors that may affect Semler Scientific's results and these forward-looking statements. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded. Now, I would like to introduce Doug Murphy-Chutorian, CEO of Semler Scientific. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining the Semler Scientific Third Quarter 2018 Financial Results Call. Semler is an emerging growth company that provides technology solutions to improve the clinical effectiveness and efficiency of healthcare providers. Our mission is to develop, manufacture, and market innovative products that assist our customers in evaluating and treating chronic diseases. We believe that our technology and software solutions enable our customers to identify when preventive care options are appropriate and to intervene before events like heart attacks and strokes occur. Today, we report continued revenue and profit growth. 2018 to date is the best year on record for the company in that revenue from the first 9 months of 2018 has already exceeded annual revenue of 2017. The third quarter of 2018 was one of our best ever based on achievements by the sales team and the R&D team. Management believes that customer interest in our product is growing impressively. In the remainder of 2018 and for the full year of 2019, we expect to see continued sequential growth in license revenue, with occasional outsized spurts of such revenue growth, primarily due to larger than usual orders from our largest customers. Now, please refer to the financial results described in the press release that was distributed this morning, which I will discuss next. For the quarter ended September 30th, 2018, compared to the corresponding period of 2017, revenue was $5,579,000, an increase of $1,972,000, or 55%, from $3,607,000. Operating expense, which includes cost of revenue, was $4,033,000, an increase of $502,000, or 14%, from $3,531,000. Net profit was $1,468,000, an increase of $1,509,000 from a net loss of $41,000. It's satisfying to note that 77% of growth in revenue became net profit. Analyzing the expense categories and earnings in the third quarter of 2018 as a percentage of quarterly revenue, cost of revenue was 11% of quarterly revenue. Engineering and product development expense was 11% of quarterly revenue. Sales and marketing expense was 32% of quarterly revenue. General and administrative expense was 19% of quarterly revenue. Net profit was 26% of quarterly revenue. Earnings per share were 24 cents per basic share and 19 cents per diluted share for the quarter ended September 30th, 2018. Calculated using a basic share count of 6,086,489 and a diluted share count of 7,927,788. As of September 30th, 2018, compared sequentially to June 30th, 2018, Semler had cash of $3,087,000, an increase of $1,078,000, primarily due to cash provided by operations from net income, as adjusted by items such as exercise of warrants and options, which provided $202,000 in proceeds, and partially offset by accounts receivable, which increased by $630,000, and purchases of inventory and capital expenditures of $256,000. During the third quarter of 2018, the company repaid $294,000 in notes and interest by issuing 12,943 shares of common stock to the noteholder in lieu of cash, and repaid $42,000 in other notes with cash. The combination of earnings, exercise of stock options, and issuance of common shares to noteholders resulted in an increase in stockholders' equity, which totaled $2,312,000 as of September 30, 2018, compared to $216,000 as of June 30, 2018. As a reminder, we anticipate that NASDAQ listing requirements for stockholders' equity are satisfied at $5 million. Subsequent to September 30, 2018, the company repaid the remaining note and accrued interest on the balance sheet with cash of $1,873,000, and on the same day, the note holder exercised $350,000 of warrants for 134,616 shares of common stock. The latter action is an additional increase to stockholders' equity. Our quarterly report on Form 10-Q will include our cash flow statement and more discussion of our cash and liquidity. For the 3 months ended September 30th, 2018, we recognized license revenues of $4,151,000 from leasing of vascular testing products, an increase of $1,316,000 compared to $2,835,000 in the same period of 2017. The remainder of total revenue was from usage fees and other equipment supply sales of vascular testing products, which together increased to $1,428,000 in the 3 months ended September 30, 2018, as compared to $772,000 in the same period in 2017. In the third quarter of 2018, all of the growth in license revenue came from new installations that were orders from new customers or expansions of orders from previous customers. We don't report the specific numbers of each. Revenue from usage fees during the third quarter came mostly from established customers performing more QuantaFlo tests, partially offset by lower hardware sales. We don't routinely report the specific numbers of each. In the third quarter of 2018, licensing fees accounted for 74% of revenue, while usage fees and supply sales accounted for 26% of revenue. In comparison, during the corresponding quarter of 2017, licensing fees accounted for 78% of revenue, while usage fees and supply sales accounted for 22% of revenue. In the remainder of 2018, and for the full year of 2019, we expect license revenue to continue to grow due to the increased numbers of installations from both new and established customers and recurring revenue from the licensing business. The quarterly pattern of usage fee revenue seen in 2017 and 2018 was lowest in the first quarter compared to the three latter quarters of the year. This has been the pattern in 2018 as well. We don't give formal guidance or quantify our expectations for revenue or earnings. Management believes that customer interest in our product is growing. To reiterate, over the next 15 months, we can expect continued sequential growth in license revenue due to our recurrent revenue model, with occasional outsized spurts in license revenue growth due to larger than usual orders. We expect operating expenses will be relatively flat in the fourth quarter of 2018. In 2019, operating expenses are expected to increase from quarter to quarter as the business grows. As we have stated before, it is our intent to grow revenue at a faster rate than expenses and to remain profitable. We are currently on track for 2018 to be the first full year of profitability in the company's history. There is no plan to raise additional capital this time. we reserve the right to change our financing plans as opportunity or need arises. Our goal is to further establish QuantaFlow as a standard of care in the industry. We believe that the market for vascular disease testing is large relative to our current market penetration, so there is room for continued growth. We think Semler Scientific is well positioned in this healthcare market because we deliver cost-effective wellness solutions for the care of patients with chronic diseases. We may improve health outcomes for patients by identifying those who benefit from preventive health measures. We provide economics that work for the providers, the facilities, the insurance plans, the government, and the patient. Through the first 9 months of 2018, revenue was $15.5 million, and earnings per share was 60 cents basic and 48 cents diluted. These numbers exceed performance for the entire year of 2017, which was $12.5 million revenue with a loss of 33 cents per share. To conclude my prepared remarks, in terms of both financial performance and the number of patients being tested with our products, 2018 is already established as a record year for the company. During the fourth quarter of 2018, we currently expect to attain new highs in these categories. I thank you for your interest in the company, your continuing support. And now, operator, please open the lines for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press the star, then the number one key on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. Again, that's star, then one to ask a question. To prevent any background noise, we ask that you please place your line on mute once your question has been stated. And our first question comes from the line of Brooks O'Neill with Lake Street Capital. Your line is now open.
Good morning, Doug, and congratulations on the solid quarter. I have a few questions. I guess I'd like to start with just a little probing on the comments you made regarding continued sequential growth with occasional outsized orders. I'm guessing there may be some basis for your suggestion that sequential growth can continue and you may be seeing some indications from customers or prospects that there is the potential for some outsized orders in the future. Could you just give us any additional color and what gives you the confidence to make such a bold statement?
Historically, over the last quarters, Brooks, as you've seen, we have continued growth, sequential growth. Some quarters are outsized quarters. And once again, historically, we said we weren't going to comment about intra-quarter, but we have seen in the past where we did comment that large orders coming in predominantly late in a quarter and or ones that required us to interact with the IT departments of our customers who then wanted to put their devices, if you will, in the field on a staggered basis led to increases of our billing them not upon shipment but later when the installations were put up. As you know, each of the systems that we have, we know when it is going operational because we get results of all the tests on a daily basis. So I think that we're just saying we expect to see more of the same, and obviously I also made the statement that we had a very good quarter in the third quarter, and in my opinion, certainly the best of the year so far. So we think there's a lot of reason to be optimistic that we have a framework for future growth.
That's very helpful. I appreciate your commenting on that. Could you say if you have ever in your time at Semler seen seasonality in the business or any patterns that might be described as seasonal fluctuations?
Not clearly. The license revenue has done its spurts at different times of the year, so we have no real seasonality that we can say to that. On the usage fee revenue, it's kind of early to in our history with usage fees, but in essence, what we have seen is that the first quarters of usage fees of a year are the lowest, and that the second, third, and fourth are substantially higher. This year, we saw, let's see if I'll get the numbers for you here, I believe, for example, in 2017, first quarter was $78,000, then $300,000 in the second, $750,000 in the third, and $850,000 in the fourth quarter. This year, we've seen approximately $750,000 in the first quarter. The second quarter was about $1,367,000, and this quarter was $1,375,000. So that pattern seems to be what we have seen. We would anticipate, therefore, that that pattern could continue. We're not giving guidance on absolute numbers of it, so we don't know if there'll be another burst like there was last year, although, as I said, sales activity has brought in new important clients to us. So we'll have to just wait and see what happens next year.
Sure. That's very helpful. So I know you don't want to say specifically anything about individual clients, but could you say, are you seeing more activity from existing customers, or are you seeing a reasonable pickup in new customer acquisition? Or how would you evaluate that as you look at your overall business this quarter and looking perhaps out to what you might reasonably anticipate in the near future?
I think, as you said, we're not actually quantifying or giving numbers. The sales team brought in important new clients this quarter, and they also brought in more orders from established clients. So we're happy in both regards.
Yeah, that's great. Fantastic. Okay, two more quick questions. One, are you seeing anything new on the competitive front that is of note?
No.
Okay, and then secondly, you mentioned the $5 million equity requirement for NASDAQ listing. To your knowledge or in your experience, are there other meaningful milestones or criteria you need to address in the future to be eligible for NASDAQ listing, or is it simply getting to the $5 million of equity and then some relatively perfunctory steps to get listed?
The latter, relatively perfunctory steps. There are some other criteria. We will do a run, for example, to see exactly how many shareholders we have and try to get a better number on that because there's a requirement there. I think that we should be able to address all the requirements if indeed the equity is there. But the statement I was making was that certainly is the NASDAQ requirement. We're hopeful that everything else that was necessary, i.e. keeping up on the paperwork, the reports, the calls, et cetera, is in good shape. In addition, when we become a NASDAQ company, there is a requirement to have additional independent board members. We currently have two independent, so we would increase to five independent. But those are just some of the examples. I consider them perfunctory, but each one actually has to be, each box has to be checked.
Sure. I appreciate that. I would just say I continue to be fairly wildly enthusiastic about your prospects, and I congratulate you on your accomplishments this year.
Your questions. Operator, are there other questions?
We maybe lost the operator, Doug. Shall I ask a few more questions?
And if the operator can come back on at some point, that'd be terrific. Yes,
sure.
Please, go ahead.
Could you just talk a little bit about R&D spending, and I think you alluded to some positive R&D developments in the quarter, but I'm not sure I heard you elaborate on what those might be.
It made some dramatic improvements in data analytics and handling, security features, our multi-platform capability. You'll see that we spent a few hundred thousand, I don't have the number in front of me, dollars on R&D in the quarter in an attempt to get all those products done and ready. And obviously, we think those, once again, are part of what I mean by the framework for future growth.
Sure. And you specifically mentioned you had no plans to raise capital. You just feel like the cash flow from operations growing as it is perfectly adequate to meet your needs as the business grows and as you continue to invest in R&D. Is that a reasonable way to summarize?
No, it's earlier than planned, and we're still on the path of minimal dilution and share issuance, and we think the stock price is undervalued, given what we see happening with the company in terms of our growth. So there's no plan to, at this point, assuming that the cash is now going to be accumulating from operations, we have no plans to accelerate expenditures giving those increase, but want to reserve the right to change our cash management plan based on opportunity or necessity. But we are very, very happy to see the cash persistence swelling and the fact that we now have a very clean balance sheet.
Absolutely. That's great. Okay, that's all the questions I have, Doug. Thanks very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Operator, are there any other questions?
Our question comes from the line of Brooks O'Neill with Lake Street Capital. Our next question comes from the line of Kyle Bowser with Dougherty & Company. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning, Doug. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Hi, Kyle. How are you?
Great. Doing well, thanks. So you've talked about roughly a third of patients eligible to receive an annual wellness exam don't actually go in for their checkup. So leveraging the home health risk assessment companies is therefore a nice opportunity. Of your current home health clients, you know, are they partnering with insurers that are non-current license-based clients? You know, what I'm getting at is if they also partner with some of the other big administrators of Medicare Advantage that aren't current similar clients, is there an opportunity to leverage that connection to sign on the remaining insurers like Aetna and Anthem and the Blues?
I think that you're exactly right that the third party vendor, in this case it does usage, their client is also insurance plan, and many of their clients or some of their clients may not be current clients of ours, which means that that particular client gets a feeling of how successful the program would be for them, both in terms of clinically for their patients and economically in the home setting. And therefore, we would hope would make the conclusion that the clinic setting to help the rest of their patients not taken care of by the home risk assessment would be a logical decision to make. So in essence, it's a wonderful marketing plan to show people their own data and let them make the next decision in terms of what they should do.
Okay, thanks. And, you know, great year-over-year results here. If we look sequentially from your prepared remarks, about 74% of Q3 sales came from licensed users, which is, you know, in line with Q2 and Q1. So licensed sales have grown slightly in the past three quarters. If we look at non-licensed sales, in Q2, they were up about 100% sequentially and flat this quarter. Was that a function of signing on one of these home health risk assessment companies in Q2 and maybe not one in Q3? Any sort of update on developments within this client base would be great.
It's predominantly existing clients that were doing the testing for us in both the second and third quarter with new clients coming on, who have not really impacted anything yet. It is unclear to me whether the insurance plans, who are the customers of the HRAs who do usage fees, if they give their contracts in the beginning of the year, then you would assume that the vendor would have to do some of those cases in the first quarter because he doesn't have the names of the members who are to be tested, and then would do more in the second, third, and fourth quarter. And so we don't know if they're going to divide that up equally or whether insurance plans give them additional names by for the end of the year, or is there a little bit of a summer lull in doing cases because it's hard to get at people's homes? Does that mean the fourth quarter will be bigger? Are holidays going to impact that? I have a lot of questions. And so what we really have to do is just look at the facts. And the facts are we saw in 2017, which is our first, actually, quarter where we had this up and running, that it increased in the third a little bit. And I'm sorry, a lot from second to third and a little bit from third to fourth. This year we see it increased a little bit from second to third. And, you know, the fourth has to be made. So we are seeing a pattern. And I think we just have to look at that history and apply that pattern in future years. So I'm sorry I can't answer your question exactly. I just wanted to tell you the considerations and why we're waiting to sort of get a better feel for that ourselves.
No, that's helpful. So you're saying that the administrators of Medicare Advantage just kind of give a list to these HRAs early on saying, here are some patients that haven't come in for their annual wellness exam. Go ahead and test them whenever you can over the next year. Is that what you're saying?
I think it's more sophisticated than that, but really discussing their business is kind of not the basis of what I do. But, you know, they may know who they would like to target because people have not come into the hospital, into the clinics for years. So I'm sure it's more sophisticated than I'm describing. I think what we can only do is look at the data that we have and then present that to you, and you have to make your suppositions based on that.
Okay. And then lastly, given the simplicity and accuracy of QuantaFlow, there's really no reason this can't become the standard of care for, you know, early detection of PAD for a lot of clinicians. Can you share any anecdotal feedback you received from physicians on how this is changing their practice, or even instances where QuantaFlow has been used to detect PAD early on in patients?
We've over the years had many anecdotes come in, cases where slightly younger patients in their 50s first had this discovered, then found out that they had heart disease and then had an intervention. There are a lot of good stories that way. And I think that the general use of preventive medicine is well documented in the literature to save lives and reduce costs. So you can assume that we fit right into that. So I think there's a very good feeling about this. There's some growing medical literature supporting it. And I think, though, that I'm going to say it's a good news story right now, and we hope to continue what we're doing. More data analysis, accuracy, getting patients in for prevention, hopefully intervening in time, and other cases, getting them to have healthier behavioral lifestyles to preclude their need for medicines and or interventions. So it's right now PAD testing, which we do, is and preventive medicine, I think, is the hallmarks of good medical care, and also efficient and cost-effective medical care.
That's great. Thanks a lot for taking the question.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Brian Marks with Zacks Investment Research. Your line is now open.
Hi, Doug, and congrats on the quarter. Most of mine have been asked. Relative to R&D, though, you commented on that there were some, it sounds like, incremental expenditures in Q3. Should I interpret that maybe Q4 could come down in terms of R&D expense?
Yeah, we would. There was a burst of energy there, but we've seen that historically where we put $100,000, maybe $200,000, not big dollars, into a quarter to get projects completed and up and running because we think that they're going to benefit us and it's worth getting them done sooner. And then it settles down a little. But I think if you take a look at our cost of revenues, I think they've been running 9%, 10%, 11% of quarterly revenue, the R&D, engineering and product development expense. So I think we'll be in that same ballpark. I don't want to paint us into a corner that we are expecting something to go down where a project of interest to us, which we think would benefit the company, future earnings, et cetera, happens, and we actually want to spend on it, that we might. So right now, it's in that range. You can see where it's been all along. I don't anticipate any major changes or that we have planned to those percentages right now.
Okay, great. And then on the last one just had to do with the outstanding share count. Can you tell me what it is today, the diluted count?
Yes. Hold one second, and I have it here. As of September 30th, 2018, outstanding were 6,173,294 common shares, 425,343 warrants, and 1,451,929 vested stock options. And there were also 315,606 unvested stock options. And you did hear that I said on the call that some of the warrants that I just mentioned there did convert to common stock in early October.
Okay. And when do you expect to file the Q?
Generally speaking, we file the Q the next week. So let's say sometime next week, certainly by Friday.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Doug.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Clark Lehman with Logos Partners. Your line is now open.
Well, hi, Doug. I had a question regarding what your overall view of covered lives and what percentage of those lives are have been tested. Or I don't know if it's an annual. Do you suggest an annual test, or is it just a one-time test?
Generally speaking, these screening programs and monitoring programs are administered once a year. The American Heart Association and American College of Cardiology criteria for testing for peripheral artery disease are to look at everyone age 65 and older, and patients 50 years and older who have a risk factor, like a cardiovascular risk factor, cigarette smoking, et cetera. That group comes to about 70 million people, plus or minus some there, and that would be the a group that would be tested. Of course, there are no numbers that we've given. In the past, we had said we were about 2% market penetrated in terms of either procedure uses or physicians. There are about 350,000 primary care physicians, we believe, in the country, but we have not been updating that number as to where we are. So
you're talking about nationwide. I'm talking about your customers. How many covered lives do your install base currently covered?
The question. We have not disclosed who our customers are and therefore the number of lives associated with it, but we did say that United Optum was a customer, and I believe that their figures are that they are in this patient population approximately a 35% market share. So obviously they're not our only customer, and so we have more than that. You can also look up fairly easily who are the insurance plans in the country, the biggest ones. Just off the top of my head, you've got
I understand that. I'm just trying to figure out what, in your view or your in Semler's view, how many of the covered lives have that are appropriate to be tested have been tested?
We think low single digit.
Okay. And is there a white paper? Are there studies? Are there materials that you can refer to that show the payback of early intervention?
There is one paper that we have referred to that is a patient-centric PAD patient where intervention was done, and over a multi-year period, there was a substantial decrease in mortality in that paper, I believe 65% decrease. We can offline, if you want, I can get you what that reference is, and you can look up that that paper. There are many other articles out there. That is just one that we thought did a good job of looking at the particular question you just asked. What is the potential clinical benefit from intervention in the patient population identified with peripheral artery disease?
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Christopher Hillary with Robex Capital. Your line is now open.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to ask, you have a remarkable level of profitability given your size. Have you shared any comments about how you expect that to evolve in the medium or long run?
We have really not given guidance as to that. We are reporting net income because of tax loss carryforwards. We have not reported any taxes, so that will obviously change the situation at some point in time. I believe there were, as of 2017, I haven't gotten an update of this number, approximately 16 or 17 million of tax loss carryforwards. we would anticipate that goal of having keeping our expenses relatively in line and substantially less in terms of growing than our revenue growth would mean that quite a bit of income will continue to drop to the bottom line. But we're, as I said, not giving guidance as to the exact amounts.
Okay. Thanks very much. Congratulations on the great results.
Thank you again.
Thank you. And I am not showing any further questions at this time. I would now like to turn the call back over to Doug Murphy-Couturian, CEO of Semler Scientific, for any closing remarks.
Thank you, operator. Thank you for joining us today, everyone. I look forward to updating you soon on our continued progress. We're very happy with where we are at the moment and would like this kind of progress to continue, especially thanks to the questioners and on the call. Please feel free to reach out to me if you have any other questions, if we can update you on any information that you may not have had a chance to ask on the phone call today. Good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's conference. This does conclude today's program, and you may all disconnect. Everyone, have a wonderful day.